Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get it on!
Sprawl and brawl, ground and pound. Get ready for an MMA showdown. Now, the ultimate Octagon Insider, Sean and Tristan Ducrosse.
What's up, everybody? You're listening live right now to the Ducrosse Brothers, the Sports Warriors. As you can see, we're on three platforms tonight. We are on Periscope. Well, I should get Periscope up and running, but we're on Ustream.tv right now for the Sports Warriors TV edition. Then we are also on Blog Talk Radio, so you can check us out over on Blog Talk Radio and on Ustream.tv right now until we get Periscope up and running. Sean, it's an interesting field right now because, as you can clearly see, we're doing something new, doing something completely different. And by this, I mean, we've had UFC 196 happen, and we have new royalty sitting at the top. New Cupcake and El Diablo are at the top and the pinnacle of the UFC right now. Many people were trying to figure out what was going on in terms of why would Conor McGregor take this fight against El Diablo, a.k.a. Nate Diaz. Why would you take this fight? And we were trying to figure that out, why you would take such a fight, especially when you're looking at a guy that was a legit 170 to 155 range. Anytime that you go up in weight with Conor McGregor, I don't care what anybody says, you're talking about adding more weight, adding more muscle to your frame. That's extremely hard to put that kind of amount of pressure on your body. It takes different oxygen levels. It takes it works different muscles. And when Conor McGregor stepped into this fight, everybody thought, okay, well, you're going to get a new, improved Conor McGregor. You're going to get a stronger guy. He's not going to lose any speed. But in the Nate Diaz fight, you clearly saw that he was a little bit slower. He didn't have a whole lot of energy going into the second and towards the second round. You didn't have a lot of energy going into those rounds. And it played right into Nate Diaz's hands. And I told everybody last week that it was going to play right in Nate Diaz's hands. And everybody thought I was a little insane for it. Dude, I thought you were insane, dude. You called the round, you called the sub, and you called the winner. I'm sorry I went Conor McGregor on Conor McGregor. But the reality of the situation was that even Fallon, my wife, sat right next to us during that fight and reiterated the same thing I said last week, which was, it's watching mirror images of each other. The only thing different was that, yes, I'll give Conor McGregor the benefit of the doubt, is that Conor McGregor is more agile, more athletic than Nate Diaz is. But their contrast was exactly what I said it was going to be. It was mirror images. And when you go back and you look at that fight, Tristan, what happened in that fight? You and I were talking about it just before we went on the air. Is that when a grown man slaps you, what's going to happen? You're going to tend to go, hold up, wait a second, I just got slapped? You kidding me? And you go right back at the drawing board and you try to punk him.
Right.
Because you just got punked.
See, and that's the thing. I was talking to a couple of our boys about that fight because they're asking me, well, what did I think about that fight? And like you said, dude, we talked about it just before the show, and because somebody posted a gift on our page about Nate Diaz slapping a pie across his face. Now, you know, as a grown man, you slap me once. Okay, you slap me twice. Now we have a little bit of a problem. You slap me again and again and again. Now we have a problem. I don't care what anybody says. You took a man out of his game by slapping him. Everybody totally neglected everything and didn't even see that for what it was. Ask a grown man. I asked you, how would you react if you got slapped four times?
The same way that Conor McGregor snapped, and that is, I'm going to try to knock your head off with an uppercut.
That's what happened. Now, but I was trying to figure out, why did he go with the uppercut, though?
Because in the first round, he was teeing off with that left all day long. That left was there. But yet, after the first round, he comes out in the second round, and the whole entire dynamic of the situation completely changed. Now you have a guy that is throwing out smacks across the face, and you got Conor just trying to go for uppercuts. He really looked one-dimensional to me.
And a lot of it tends to come back to what he said after the fight, Tristan. And that's what he said was, you know, I trained too much for the physicality of it. I trained too much for the muscle of it. And it showed that. And Nate Diaz touched on it at the beginning of this whole saga, which was, you know, you could go ahead and punk midgets. You can punk the little guys.
But when you get up to a guy that's my size, my weight,
it takes a grown man to knock out a grown man.
And everybody has said it always through the course of time, Sean. Everybody has said, why don't you pick on somebody your own size? And ironically, he did this time, and he picked on Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz is a guy that you never really want to mess around with because you don't know what kind of Nate Diaz you're going to get. And like we were telling people, dude, if Nate Diaz comes in with his head on straight, and what was interesting leading up to this fight, Sean, is what I found out is that he didn't even train for this. Like, everybody was saying that this was the guy that was training, but yet he wasn't really training because he was in Cabo throwing back beers, partying on a yacht, and the only reason why he said he made 170 was because he got sick. So he didn't eat for a few days, and he ended up losing the weight. So he made 170. Because other than that, he said he would never have made 170 because he wasn't even in fighting shape 12 weeks ago. And here he comes in at 170 and destroys him and claims that it self-proclaims himself the new 145-pound king because he beat Conor McGregor.
And that's a lot, is that when you come in and you do what you did to Conor McGregor, of all people, on the biggest, grandest stage of them all, I was trying to figure this out, is that when Nate Diaz looks across the bow and he says, well, what's next? Okay, he beat Michael Johnson at 155. I mean, dismantled him. Michael Johnson was listed as the number 6th ranked 155er. Now you look at Nate Diaz is ranked number 5. But where does he fit? Is he a 155er? Is he a 170? What's coming next? To me, he looks so good at 155 and 170 that if I am Nate Diaz, is that when he has a record of 19-10 and you're looking at the drawing board about placement, there's many people talking about that at 155. He should get Anthony Pettis. But the problem I have with Anthony Pettis is that he fights Edson Barboza coming up.
And he's yet to draw anything remotely interesting when it comes to his fights. Now, don't get me wrong. He's supposed to be Showtime Pettis. But yet, this guy is not. So I'm trying to figure out, how do you sell a card with Nate Diaz? Because even Dana White says that he can't really sell anything. But yet, to me, it was a two-part. It was Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz that sold this fight. So don't tell me that he can't sell a card. And he said, Dana White says that, well, we have to pause on this because the fight has to make sense. To me, how does a fight make sense when you just had your 145-pound champ, Sean, get systematically picked apart and choked out?
And you, as Dana White is, you begin to wonder about what's next. Because you know he's protecting his guy in Conor McGregor. But it also will leave you questioning about, is he going to go back down to 145?
Right.
If he goes back down to 145, you run into a buzzsaw in Frankie Edgar, who continues to say, hey, I want the next shot. But everybody's now lining up once again after they saw that Conor McGregor was dethroned, because when you look at it, everybody goes, oh my God, he's beatable. What? No way.
Right. And then all of a sudden, we see a new champ. And Misha Tate finally getting her due and beating Holly Holm. And you and I were the only ones that called it, that called the shot across the bow. And one reason why we called this was because we did not think for a minute that Holly Holm is as great of a champion as Ronda Rousey. Granted, she beat Ronda Rousey. But we saw flaws in Ronda Rousey. We saw flaws in Holly Holm. And we thought the only complete fighter that we saw that could take the title away was Misha Tate. We honestly believed that when you're looking at the matchups, the wrestling skills, the jiu-jitsu skills, did not physically match up to Holly Holm, because Holly Holm is a point boxer. And we've said that over and over. There's only so much you can throw out a jab and keep the girl at bay, or keep anybody at bay, for that matter. And it's okay. Was Misha Tate getting destroyed for the first several rounds? Absolutely, no doubt. No doubt. She wasn't going to win anything. I think she had maybe 20 seconds of fight time that actually went her way, which was maybe winning one round. But then Misha Tate did the unthinkable. Went for that takedown and finally got that takedown. She fought hard for it. And that's the thing, is that when you're a raging pit bull as she is, and so desperate to take that title home and to crown herself as one of the GOATs in women's MMA, she needed to do whatever she can to maintain her positioning and to accomplish her dream. The irony behind it is that she finished Holly Holm in the same fashion that she does in the movie Fight Valley. That is almost nearly identical. Rear naked choke.
So when you look at it, this was all positioning. It's all about how you were going to be successful. We've talked about it before, okay? Yes, you said Holly Holm's a point boxer. We've said that. Well, what we've also said is that Ronda Rousey's one-dimensional. It all came down to Misha Tate being patient and precise,
because that's what we've always said. In order for Misha Tate to be what she needed to be, even Joe Rogan, I don't like Joe Rogan at all, but even Joe Rogan hit it right on the head during the event, was that you have to be patient. You have to pick your spots. And for once, Misha Tate did exactly that. Knew that she's been in more five-round fights. Knew that she's been in big-time fights before. Knew that at the end of the day, Sean, she knew that all she had to do was get inside, take her down, and hope that she could get a submission on her.
And see, and that's what I said, was that even throughout the fight when we were watching, was that Misha Tate had to be the aggressor. She couldn't be complacent. In the first round, she was complacent. In the second round, she became the aggressor. And she won that second round by establishing the distance and getting in tight and grappling with her. Holly Holm did not like that. Third round, again, was a little bit more of Holly Holm than Misha Tate. It's like, see, that's the problem with Misha Tate, was that she takes the back route. Instead of being the person that continuously depressed, she ends up taking a step back rather than going full tilt. Fourth round came around. Okay, she's back in the grind. She's back getting in the face of Holly Holm, and Holly Holm didn't like that. So that's what Misha Tate needs to do consistently. That was her downfall in the previous two fights with Ronda Rousey. Everybody says, oh, why are we going to see Ronda Rousey versus Misha Tate when Ronda Rousey is just going to run right through her in 48 seconds? It's being said all around the internet right now. But when you look back at the drawing board, everything you look at Misha Tate, since day one, since what we've seen from her,
Ronda Rousey was beat not once but twice against Misha Tate. People tend to fail to realize that.
Right, because all they see is at the end of the day that she got caught via armbar not once but twice. So what the record says is that she has two wins over Misha Tate. But if you hit her in the face, you saw it. She's a different girl. Holly Holm showed you that. But now you have other girls that are trying to come out of the woodwork and say, hey, what about me? How about you give me a shot? Kat Zingano, making it very known on her, score or on her Twitter and everything
the
else.
The score, the thing for the fighters.
Right. On any platform, she is out there trying to say, hey, she's gotten beat twice by Ronda Rousey. I've taken her. Give it back to me. Granted, Ronda Rousey deserves a rematch, but let's put her up against Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey and see what one of those two. Let's get some more blood in there and see if we can get a third champion after Ronda Rousey. But that's the thing, is that when you look at the bantamweight, Tristan, again, we've said it 100 times. It's regurgitating the fighters. Dude, you know who we have not seen that should be calling out somebody? How about Liz Carmouche out here in San Diego? I can't even remember the last time she was even relevant.
That's what
UFC.
I'm saying.
But yet she's in the bantamweight. And again, she was another fighter
that almost finished Ronda Rousey.
And see, that's the thing.
In her first ever fight.
That's the thing, is that people tend to forget the predecessors before Ronda Rousey. And that when you look at everything, is that everything was being designed before Holly Holm got to her.
Yeah, that game plan was already being put into motion.
It was already shown Ronda Rousey could be beat. Could be beat. Just for one shape or form, one way or another, it didn't happen. She got lucky. She made it out. She won her fight. Bravo. But then you go back to what Misha Tate has said recently, is that she feels that Ronda Rousey is broken. She's more focused on having kids.
Travis Hopper Brown's baby.
That's a different issue. But you get that, and you see what's going on. You tend to lean towards that. I believe Ronda Rousey is broken. She will never come back as the same fighter. Look at Misha Tate. Misha Tate has been knocked down, beat up, dragged through the mud, you name it. She's been done everything imaginable. She knows one thing. Just like Nadine, she's a fighter. She's a champion. She is one of the predecessors when it comes to women's MMA. She is one of the greatest of all time.
That is very true.
She accomplished that title when she took that UFC Bantamweight Championship away from Holly Holm. It's just a shame that Holly Holm could defend her title. That was a shame. That's something that Holly Holm needs to dig up and go, okay, we need to go back to the drawing board. Yes, there's a photo over the internet now showing her working on her rear naked choke defense. I should have probably worked on that beforehand. Sean, when you're looking at a fighter like Holly Holm, okay, Dana White has came out and said that, hey, this was a bad matchup. This was stupid on Holly Holm's camp to even allow this. And now they're thinking about getting a rematch. And he says, dude, you guys might want to pause real quick because it was stupid for you to guys fight. It'll be stupid again for you guys to take it again for a rematch. So let's pump. So ultimately, the only two fighters that I see right now for Misha Tate is by default. It is Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey's coming back. Once she's done with Hollywood. Answer me this. Riddle me this, Batman. Why would you, as Misha Tate, why would you wait for Ronda Rousey to come back from Hollywood?
And that's what Kat Zingano's whole beef is. Why would you wait? Why do you want to
wait? Maybe you wait till what even Kat Zingano said it till after Christmas before you get a fight. Where you can fight her at UFC 200 and get a payday.
But when did you make the fight for UFC 200? Why wouldn't you name the fight Rocky should take for the title? Why wouldn't you make this fight for UFC 200? Why is there not even any talk about it? Why is Camp Zagano throwing it there that is the fight that could happen at UFC 200? We don't know that yet. Is she just really transitioning? But you're playing what ifs, and you're playing with cards, if you will. Okay, we know who they're fighting, but we don't know what next is next for Nate Diaz. We don't know what's next for Conor McGregor. You would think that after that, every domino would start to fall.
But there is no dominoes falling yet.
No, and the one domino that I would like to see fall is that if Nate Diaz, with what he did to Conor McGregor, one of two scenarios should happen. Okay? Here's a bold prediction again for me. Nate Diaz, in a rematch against RDA, the man who formerly almost nearly killed him in the octagon. So, how about that fight? Or the guy that's sitting at the top. Okay? You have Tony Ferguson and Khabib.
Yep.
That's already done. Instead of going backwards, why not an interesting fight? Why not put Nate Diaz against Eddie Alvarez? He's sitting there at the top of the food chain, not a title shot. He's sitting there at the top of the food chain right now.
But then you would have to make it as a title eliminator between the two.
Absolutely. Why not make that bout a number one contender shot?
Again, if I'm looking at Nate Diaz, I just got paid. I just got almost $1 million. I am the new self-proclaimed king at 45. I'm thinking I don't need any more these one-on-one, these what-if, these matches. Who should have? And Nate Diaz should be looking at RDA for the 155. Heck, he should be even looking at Robbie Lawler at the 170. Either way you look at it, I honestly believe that Nate Diaz, his next fight should be at UFC 200 for a title shot. Either it's at 155 or it's at Robbie Lawler at 170. Either way you cut it, at UFC 200. Make no mistake, it needs to be the fight, period. That needs to be the fight, Sean.
Yeah.
One of those two fights. No more of this, well, he doesn't draw. Well, we don't know about it. No.
You like Nate Diaz or the Diaz brothers, just like you either like Sean or myself, or you like Warriors.
You either love us or you hate us.
At the end of the day,
we have a job to do. The Diaz brothers have a job to do. Money off the table and just lay everything out there on the line. Anxiety, they have anxiety problems. That's why they don't self-propel, because if you ruffle their feathers enough, they're going to just bite your head off.
But one thing that Nate Diaz has over Nick is the fact that
he talks a little bit more.
He talks a little bit more, and he's not afraid of press conferences. He let it be perfectly known. He's here as a fighter. That's one thing he knows how to be, is just a fighter. He said it in his press conferences. I'll be killed. It's either be killed or whatever that slogan was. So you look at it, that's what needed to be what needed to happen. That's why I like Nate Diaz over Nick Diaz. You know what you're getting with.
Okay, what about... Okay, here's the situation, okay? Nate Diaz was suspended for 420. Ironic, sure, whatever. Everything's been picking that apart. Conor McGregor is even allowed to get out there now and get another fight. So you got UFC 96 now lined up perfectly for UFC 200, their big WrestleMania event. Everything's lining up.
Yeah.
You'll get Diaz back for UFC 200. He has to be on that card. Okay? Conor McGregor needs to be on that card. Robbie Lawler needs to be on that card. if Diaz on that card. I don't see Nick Diaz in the future at this point. When you're looking at what Nick Diaz does, he's been popped a week. He's been suspended. So he's not even in the negotiation for it. But if Nick Diaz is going to be the one that's going to get the payday again for the brothers. One brother, shape or form, is better than one or the other in something. I'm better than you in something. You're better than me in something. That's just the reality of the situation. You're always going to be better in something that the other one's not. Nick Diaz had a great run, had fun doing it, but the last fight I saw him in against Anderson Silva was just flat-on embarrassing. When you've got to a world championship fight potential on your hand,
and that's what you do,
and that's what you show up, that's between him and Nate Diaz. I thought, for this situation, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I thought Nate Diaz was going to show up and do what Nick did. Cool. I'm getting $500,000. I'm just going to coast and not really care about fighting. Clear indication, he did not care about money. He cared about shutting up Conor McGregor for all the fighters before him. He did it for the fighters. He did it for the fans. Who would have thought that Nate Diaz or the Diaz brothers would have said that? That's to me. So to me, UFC 196 hit it all on the head. Great for them, but you know what? We'll be back, Sean. You're listening to the Sports Warriors right here on Ustream.tv as well as on Blog Talk Radio. Your boy, Sean and Tristan Ducross, new baddest man on the planet, and some coming out of the MMA world. We'll be right back. Sit tight.
Excelsior and Paris Rex. Live long and prosper. Up, up, and away. Now that's my personal favorite. Fanboy Nation is go. Welcome to Fanboy Nation magazine, the home of all things fanboy and fangirl, not just the same stuff you can get anywhere else. Only at Fanboy Nation will we go beyond the generic questions of, so what's your favorite pencil? What kind of strings do you use? And how did it feel when you put on X costume? We give you insight into the lives of the artists, producers, the movers, the shakers, the indies, up-and-comers, the bigwigs, and most importantly, the little guys. If you haven't gotten yourself over to fanboynation.com, you need to do it today.
You are listening right now to the Ducross Brothers here on Blog Talk Radio. To check out more of the Ducross Brothers, head over to thehotspotshow.com. All right, everybody, we are back listening and doing us live right now. We are the Ducross Brothers Sports Warriors. I'm Tristan Ducross. Along my side, as always, my brother, Sean Ducross. And, Sean, we are back on YouTube. We are on Blog Talk Radio. We used to do this a while back. Now we've changed over to the platform where it's all combat sports. We are the Sports Warriors. This is Sports Warriors TV and Sports Warriors Radio. As you can see, we're both identical twins, right?
That's right, right.
This one's kind of straight, and I got the long hair. That's cool. I'm the prettier twin. That's cool. But there's a new baddest man on the planet in Bellator. And his name goes by Darion Caldwell. Are you kidding me? He took the baddest man on the planet, stripped him of that name, and took the super. I don't think he necessarily took that away from Joe Warren, but I think what is that he took away the mystique from Joe Warren is that a guy that is his age and been around the block as long as he has for Bellator, I believe that he has taken a step back. Is that we've seen that dominated the up-and-coming, the rising stars of MMA for Bellator and has beaten them single-handedly and has seemingly beat up everybody that comes through and nobody has kind of stepped up and say, you know what, we're going to go ahead and defend Caldwell Warren. So when you look at it, Darian Caldwell is a beast. He is a beast. If he can work on his stand-up game, he'll be a true force.
Yeah, he will be.
But when you look back at the board and you see that his wrestling is as good as it is my goodness. Who can beat Darian Caldwell in Bellator right now? See, when you're looking at the baddest man on the planet, he was looking for another payday and another shot at what he claimed his title. The only issue is that there are two men that were supposed to, that did not fight. And that was Eduardo Dantas as well as Leo. But that was the fight beforehand. I'm saying, but you're looking at this fight was supposed to set up against the winner of that. Oh, yeah, true. I don't think Warren coming in here would put streak kind of like Brock Lesnar ending the Undertaker streak at WrestleMania. That's what Warren has always been able to do, is that he was the man that if you had your streak, you were running off consecutive wins, you didn't want to fight Joe Warren because Joe Warren was going to end your streak and put you down. That's what. But instead, this kid, Darian Caldwell, running off streaks, running off left and right, put him to rest. So now we wait for Marcus Galvao and Eduardo Dantas, and the winner of that gets Caldwell. If I'm Galvao or if I'm Eduardo Dantas, I don't want anything to do with Darian Caldwell. Because Caldwell has proven his wrestling skills are on point. His stand-up is getting better by the day. This guy knows what it means to improve, to evolve as a fighter. To think about a first-round rear-naked choke, to think about going 9-0, establishing himself as 6-0 in Bellator. Says a lot about this guy's work ethic. And he could be a future champ. He could be the new face of MMA. Especially in Bellator, as they continue to grow their brand and take it to another level. There's also another guy that I'm really different about. And he's a Temecula Menifee guy. And his name is Fernando Gonzalez. Fernando Gonzalez, the Menifee maniac, out of our backyard, makes it very interesting matchup for anybody. Because we have always thought, or mostly me, thought that when you look at Fernando Gonzalez, he really has fought guys that, you know, he fought a guy that was fought a guy that passed his prime. So what was left for him to kind of decide himself if he was a gatekeeper or not a gatekeeper? He came into this fight against a former RFA world champion and Gilbert Smith. I still believe, Tristan, that Gilbert Smith is like, yep. I don't know how you give that fight to Fernando Gonzalez. Don't get he put up a heck of a fight, but when you look at the striking and the takedown, it was all Gilbert Smith. I was confused about what happened, but it happened. But because the judges side on Fernando Gonzalez's side, it still keeps him relevant. It still keeps him in the top of the tension, even though everybody, even including you and I, have considered him as a gatekeeper, if you will. But the interesting thing about Fernando Gonzalez is that he's still a name. He's still established in the middle portion of that group. And when you look at it, there's only one fight left for him to do. And that is against MVP, Michael Venom Page. That fight needs to happen. Period. That's the only fight Bellator needs to make, is those two guys finally clash. Because for now, because he's ducking. People say that Michael Venom Page has fought nobody. Well, in some sense, he's true. But you look at it, and if you're Michael Venom Page, take the handcuffs off.
Give him a tough fight
and see where he stands among the people that he has supposedly ducked.
Because when you look at it, Michael Van Page is a stand-up striker. When Fernando Gonzalez is at his best, he's one of the best pure strikers left in the game. He loves to stand and bang with any type of individual. He just doesn't like getting taken down. But when you look at that, you see about what's going on, that's the only fight left to make. You cannot not make that fight. That's the only avenue. And then you look at...
And then I look at Sean, and I look at that. I look at Fernando Gonzalez, and I look at the matchup against Michael Venom Page. And don't you think that would be a title fight? The winner of that, Sean, gets a title shot? Because that's where these guys are sitting right now. You're looking at Fernando Gonzalez running off now, what, 5-6 straight wins? This guy is in a league of his own right now. Could have been stopped just like that. But when you're looking at it, Michael Venom Page versus Fernando Gonzalez, it has to go down. It has to.
That has to go down, and you can't run from it. That needs to go down. But also the other one needs to go down is Bubba Highlight Jenkins calling out Georgi Karkaryan again.
Tired of being left on the back burner.
Tired of being on the altar. Let's be real on that one.
But yet, this is a guy that has continued to put himself in because he loses. He wins, he loses. He doesn't talk. He doesn't do anything.
He clearly
knows doesn't how to voice talk. His opinion. But yet, here he comes in with a pimp hat, glasses, gives it to his son. His son's all decked out like a pimp. He comes up after the fight like, yo, Georgi, I want you. We need more of Bubba Jenkins outspoken. We've heard it from Daniel Strauss, remember, Sean? Well, King Mo the Wall told me that I need to talk more. If I want to fight or I want to be a world champion, I need to talk more. Well, Bubba Jenkins, he's not holding anything back anymore. He's tired of it. He's tired of people not talking to him. He's just sick and tired and wants to move on. He wants Georgi. Is it the Georgi? Or do you believe that he needs to string together at least another win or two before he gets to Georgi Karkaryan?
Well, with the fact that Georgi Karkaryan lost his last fight,
right?
That should be no question in my mind that that fight should happen. When you're doing what Bubba Jenkins is doing right now, and he's being competitive at the top, he needs to get Georgi. He was nearly submitted in that fight. The dude avoided a rear naked choke where the guy looked like a monkey on his back, or looked like he was wearing a backpack. So you look at that, and Bubba Jenkins got out of that fight without any harm. It makes sense. Bellator's in such a good position right now with a lot of their fighters that it gives them room and opportunity of growth to continue to put matchmaking at a premium, fights at a premium. Rich is a madman right now. Dude, being Rich True right now, and you have literally all these parts right there at your disposal that you could go either direction at any point in time
on a heck of a fight card. You have guys that literally in the back that are chomping at the bit that want to fight for Bellator, that want to get on a Bellator card, and you have to pause for a minute because there are more people that are pulling the family as they keep just growing and feeding more people. You can't fathom what Rich True is doing.
What is Rich True going to do now?
Oh, I can't wait. Next, I'm like a little schoolgirl. That's the reality of what Bellator is doing. You can put a whole bunch of names in a hat and just start picking. Who do you want to face? You have pumps Thompson in this new era of Bellator. Benson Henderson. The list goes on, folks. And Bellator is just tipping the iceberg.
And you know what? It was just mentioned to me by one of our buddies, MGT, right here. Support local MMA, MMA Madhouse guys over there, Skippy Cohen and them. Was brought up is that Bubba Jenkins needs one more win.
See?
To get a title shot. And you know what? That's interesting that that's brought up because I just said I don't see that being a need. But if it is, here's an interesting fight for the fans. What about Pat Caron?
See? That would make sense.
What about Pat Caron? Pat Caron is still a relevant fighter at the top of the food chain.
And he's still looking for that one last run for a title. I love that call. Rich Chu of Bellator MMA. You know we're your boys. So how about you put Bubba Jenkins against Pat Curran and call it a day. Let's get those two guys in a Bellator circle. Let's get them one-on-one. And the winner goes on to face the champ. I like that. I like that a lot.
So I wouldn't mind seeing that fight. If you're going to give him another shot and trying to get to that next leg, put him against Pat. Give him that extra shot.
Because you put him against a guy that is a savvy veteran, a guy that's been around the block for a while. So you put him against that type of fighter, and then it shows me that Bubba Jenkins is worth something. It is absolutely eye-opening for Bubba Jenkins if he can get past Pat Curran. That is a matchup that needs to be made. You need to throw that out right now to Rich Chu and be like, dude, you need this right here, the Sports Warriors, on Ustream.tv, on Periscope, and on Block Talk Radio. We're your boys, Sean and Tristan Ducross. You need to have Pat Curran versus Bubba Jenkins. You need to. You just need to. It has to happen. But Bellator, are you kidding me? With that card, 151, you had an incredible fight. What more can you ask for except for sad news that comes out of Bellator? It hit Facebook. It breaks my heart because I saw this guy at Epic Fighting. Again, if you can see right here, support your local MMA. MMAMadhouse.com. Epic Fighting is an amateur circuit out here in San Diego. And there's a man that calls the fight for Epic Fighting. His name is Chris Lieben, a.k.a. the Crippler. He has a book out called Life on the Edge. So, by all means, go get his book on Facebook.com. You can search Chris Lieben. You can buy his book. I recommend you buying it. These all proceeds and stuff like that are going to him to help him support his life and his family because he got some sad news, and hopefully we can get Chris Lieben on our show. So we could talk about this because we're not your run-of-the-mill combat sports talk show. Chris Lieben has a heart ailment.
And that's the shame.
And won't be able to come out of retirement.
And that's a shame because anybody that knows us and our family, we've had a rough couple of years. Both of our family members have heart ailments. So we know this all very too well, and it kind of hits home for us to hear Chris Lieben announce his heart ailment. It's definitely not something to hide or sugarcoat that it is as bad as he says it is.
I read all their reports about his heart ailment. It is not good by any stretch of the imagination. He has what is almost like he has just a heart failure due to all the stuff that he's done in his past. I'm not going to get into it. Because I don't think he cares about that anymore because he's trying to get sober. He's been trying to get clean. So we're only going to think about the positive, not the negative, with Chris Lieben.
You just got to remember that he's got a long fight ahead of him. But
you can't give up because our mom has not given up. She's been fighting for years.
Same thing with her dad. Been fighting for years. They're stubborn, and at the end of the day, they'll continue to fight. and Chris Leben continue to and the world what you are as he's with Team Arena. Just continue to give back through the fight fans, give back through the youth and everything, because at the end of the day, it's all about the growth of the young fighters in this game and this era. Is that you got to build from the bottom to the top. It's about grassroots. It's about exactly like this shirt says here. Support local MMA. It's all about you've got to bring up everybody. If you've heard our interview with a buddy of ours, Joe Moore from 99 Jiu-Jitsu, that we just interviewed over the past weekend, talked about family.
Joe Moore of 99 Jiu-Jitsu out here in Wildomar, you said it, Sean. He talked about family, that a lot of people in this industry are not good people, and I ain't going to sugarcoat that. But the people that we know and our close-knit family, they are legit people. Chris Leben, you have nothing but support, because this is all about family now. The MMA community, we got your back. So make no mistake about it, you fighter. You got this.
It's a shame, because I really wanted to see him versus Wanderlei Silva.
Right? Since we called that and everybody went crazy about, what? No, Chris Leben versus Wanderlei? Yes, please.
I'd love to see it, but unfortunately, not now.
Yeah, but you got the blessing from Spurs. We know what you're going through, man. We deal with it every single day. I know your issues and what's going on, so much respect from the Sports Warriors with Sean and Tristan Ducross. Man, don't give up. Keep fighting. You got this.
Stay strong.
Absolutely. Sean, next up, March 12th, Temecula, California. Dan Henderson's gym. Are you ready for some true form entertainment? Sit tight. We'll be right back. We're the Ducross Brothers, the Sports Warriors. I'm Tristan Ducross. This is Sean Ducross. Don't get
Excelsior, Imperis Rex. Live long and prosper. Up, up, and away. Now that's my personal favorite. Fanboy Nation is go. Welcome to Fanboy Nation magazine, the home of all things fanboy and fangirl, not just the same stuff you can get anywhere else. Only at Fanboy Nation will we go beyond the generic questions of, so what's your favorite pencil? What kind of strings do you use? And how did it feel when you put on X costume? We give you insight into the lives of the artists, producers, the movers, the shakers, the indies, up-and-comers, the bigwigs, and most importantly, the little guys. If you haven't gotten yourself over to fanboynation.com, you need to do it today.
You are listening right now to the Ducross Brothers here on Blog Talk Radio. To check out more of the Ducross Brothers, head over to thehotspotshow.com.
Alright, everybody, we are back. We are the Ducross Brothers of Sports Warriors. We are a new breed of combat sports talk radio. I'm Tristan Ducross. Along my side, as always, my brother Sean Ducross. We are on three platforms tonight for the first time. We are on Ustream.tv. You can look us up by the/Ducross/brothers on Ustream.tv. Or hit us up on our Facebook, Sean and Tristan Ducross. You hit us up on Twitter. Help us at the Ducross Bros. Hit us up on Blog Talk Radio, the Ducross Bros. Yes, we worldwide. Truth right there. But we are real talk, real opinions. The only way to do it. No fluff pieces. No, oh my God, we're going to do this. No, none of that. Real talk, real opinions by the one and only, the Sports Warriors. Sean, True Form Entertainment comes to our backyard March 12th at the Dan Henderson gym. Now, when you look at this card alone, well, perhaps one of the best cards in amateur that we have seen. It's so exciting, top to bottom. Top to bottom, are you kidding me? Sean, you were part of this. Josh Kim is on this card. Jonathan Kim is on this card. If you don't know who these kids are, then you should.
Both these kids are incredible fighters. Both 1-0, should have had more fights. But unfortunately, injuries stopped them. Running out of time stopped them. But you get to see them fight live March 12th at Dan Henderson's gym. So you want to get your tickets at www.promotionalticket.com. Ticket is T-I-X. PromotionalTIX.com. You want to get your tickets. Support the youth. Support your local MMA. That is what it's all about. These are the future stars of mixed martial arts. You want to see grassroots and bring them up. This is where you want to be. On this card, it's Team Quest, the home gym, versus Team Empire. No, I'm not talking about the Empire on TV with Jesse Smollett and all them and Terrence Howard. I'm not talking about that. Although I wonder if Josh Griggs could be Terrence Howard. No, I don't think so. The main event pits Jacob Unger versus Josh Kim. Jacob Unger is 4-1. Josh Kim is 1-0. And I love this matchup on paper. We've been watching video of Jacob Unger about what type of person and what type of fighter he is and getting the idea of what kind of guy that Josh Kim is getting into. And I'm looking at it, Sean, and my immediate reaction was, this guy is a wrestler. Jacob Unger is a wrestler. Okay, so where does that leave Josh Kim? Where does that put him in this fight? It makes it a very good matchup because the last win Unger had was a submission over Alberto Romo, who is also on this card. But Jacob Unger is a wrestler. Pure and simple. Down and gritty. That's what he's about. So I'm all about wrestlers getting their dues and getting what they want. But make no mistake about it, Josh Kim has the power from the striking, and he can sub you from the ground. What more can you ask for from a fighter? As to be able to sit there and take it. Jacob Unger is going to take down Josh Kim. He's not going to want to stand there and bang with Josh Kim. And that's the thing, is that when you look at it, and you look at this fight, and from what I saw from Jacob Unger, is that this fight could go one of multiple different ways. And that being, when you look at it, and Jacob Unger being the wrestler that he is. But like you said, which brother is this one?
Josh.
I'm making points. I think they're right, matter of fact.
They are, okay. Just like you and I.
So they're crazy, at least with you and I. Those opponents have a shaved head.
Josh Kim, like I did at Epic Fighting, I could tell them apart. But if just by looking at them, I'm like,
one of you guys grow facial hair. One.
Because that's the only way I could tell them apart is by the way that they talk.
Yeah, so when you look at it, this fight is intriguing to me because Jacob Unger is 4-1. Josh Kim is 1-0. He won his fight over against Isaiah Gray, Epic Fighting's return, where he knocked him out via TKO.
Right.
In that fight, out of both fighters, out of John and Josh, the thing that's distinctive, a little bit different, is that I see John as being the more technical sound on the ground, where Josh is more of the striker on his feet. So I'm interested to see how Josh is able to defend the takedowns from a Jacob Unger.
I would have said easily Jacob Unger versus Jonathan. I would think that, okay, matchup stylistically wise, these match up a little bit better.
Absolutely.
But when you look at Josh and then it makes it even more of an interesting thing. You're looking at a kid like Josh Kim, who saw what's actually here for. To face a guy like Jacob Unger is going to prove to the world whether or not Josh Kim can kind of elevate himself and elevate his status, or he's going to have to take a step back and kind of group himself.
And see, I don't see that happening because Josh Kim, or the Kim brothers for that matter, have shown that he already, they're both their first fights, is a lot of technique and a lot of well-roundedness. When I look at Jacob Unger, he's just a wrestler. He is very good and very strong at that. So when you look at everything going forward, you go, well, hold up. Let's go ahead and test this theory, see if he can defend the takedowns. If he's anything like his brother John Kim, one thing that you can be for certain that with the takedown ability from Jacob Unger is that he will put himself in bad positions. Can Josh Kim,
and we've seen video where Jacob Unger has put himself in bad positions, but one of the guys finished the fight.
And you're running into a buzzsaw with the Kim brothers.
Very true.
And Josh. This is a great main event fight.
But then because we also have a co-main event that, again, you're looking at a co-main event. Are you kidding me? You got Steve Martin making his debut. And then you got what I classify it as is the Ginger Cowboy. Cowboy, Ginger Leprechaun. And that, three, lost to Javon Coleman. But, man, dude, you can't sleep on Spike.
But you look at Steve Mulligan,
it's just because his name's Spike Amazing.
Dude, what about the fact that here's a guy that comes out with a cowboy hat and cowboy boots?
Like, he is a short guy. Not trying to poke fun or anything like that, but dude is really a ginger. He wears a cowboy hat, cowboy boots. He has a cheers section that goes bananas every single time this kid comes out. Spike Carlin loves to put on a lot on a fight. March 12th will be no different. Steve Mulligan making his debut. Man, you are in for a fight. That's what this card is going to be all about. It's going to have kids that are going to be making their debut, Sean. And it's going to have kids that have been around the block. This is not your final matchup. Kids that want to fight
and are looking for a place to consistently show their worth. And that's what we get with True Form Entertainment. That's what we said since day one about True Form Entertainment. Josh Griggs and crew put on one hell of a fight card. It's just a matter of time before the fight fans start to gravitate towards them a little bit more. So you're hoping that this is a big turnout for them. It's a good showing because it's Team Quest's group, Team Empire. So unique base to it. So you're hoping that the city of Temecula, Marietta, Menifee, all them guys are there to support everything going on at Dan Henderson's gym.
Because this is the first time that we will actually have an amateur event in Temecula, California. Because you've had Bellator, you've had Lion Fight, but never once have you had anything like this to support the grassroots.
Correct. And now you have this opportunity. So you hope that this is a big turnout for True Form Entertainment so that when you look at it and you see what's going on, that they come back to the Temecula area because it's like, wait, this is the hotbed. This is the big step forward that we need to make. This is where we need to be. Temecula. This is where we're going to get our people. Because Epic Fighting is in San Diego. That's everything they do. Let's say that this is their niche for this area of fighters. So good luck to True Form Entertainment this weekend as it's going to be showing. But I also am looking forward to a couple fights that are on the radar. Rami Barra goes against John Kim. Rami, or I'll get his name right when we see him on True Form March 12th.
Because your boys, the Sports Warriors, will be at Dan Henderson's gym March 12th, cover True Form Entertainment. Probably even will have that up, and we'll have some fighters, some fans, and everything else on the show live at the event.
So that's what I'm looking forward is to see what this kid has for Team Quest, because it's his debut, and to continue to see the progression of Jonathan Kim. Because the last time we saw, guy showed sick floatovers to get the submission win in his first fight. It was ridiculous.
And my fight of the night that I'm looking on this card is Raheer, a.k.a. Here Dudes, against Chris Alvarez, because Here Dudes is 2-1, but he's had a yo-yo effect.
But he never disappoints. And the last time he fought at True Form was on their first showing, on their first pro and amateur card. And Here Dudes put on one of his best fighting performances since we started watching him from Team Arena, where he stood and banged and put on a show that if you see True Form Entertainment and see the poster they put out of Raheer Dudes, it's from that fucking menace. If he continues to grow like he's been doing, he's on the same level that is from Team Arena. That is eventually to go pro. He's that good.
He needs to start stringing along wins. This yo-yo effect, up and down, win one, lose one, win one. In amateur, all you are is that's going to find you a headache. Because people are going to try to figure out what you are. We ran into a problem looking for a pro fight for one of our friends. You can't have a yo-yo effect. You have to start getting wins together. Start stringing like real finishes. At some point, you have to. And Raheer Dudes has a chance against Chris Alvarez in doing that, Sean. And you can't ask for much more at this point against those guys. Having these kids a platform like True Form, it's only going to help them grow. March 12th, Dan Henderson's gym, your boys, the Sports Warriors, Sean and Tristan Ducross, will be there covering this event. Also, don't forget, too, April 10th, San Diego Park. Believe it, we're going to have some crazy fights out there, too, because of Rudy Silva. So stay tuned for more about that as well.
And, you know, as we're going out here and we're wrapping up the show, speak about crazy events, Paige VanZant went ahead and announced that she's going to be on Dancing with the Stars Season 22. I guess if you're an MMA fan or...
Isn't she 22?
The irony behind that one. But yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how well she does on Dancing with the Stars. Coming up March 21st, she'll make her debut dancing-wise, and it'll be interesting to see how she does competition-wise. She will not fight in MMA until she's eliminated from Dancing with the Stars. So it'll be interesting to see how well she's able to adapt to different dancing styles.
Right, but she was a dancer before she was ever in MMA, so this is right up her alley to actually get to dance on a show like this. So I'm going for Paige VanZant or Jody Sweetin, whichever. Full House.
Or man, Fuller House.
Fuller House, Full House, same thing. Just saying, our era, Full House. But yeah, that's it for our show. Right here, we're the Ducross Brothers Sports Warriors. You can hit us up on Facebook, Sean and Tristan Ducross. You can look at our website, www.thehotspotshow.com.
You can hit us up on Twitter, at the Ducross Bros. We're not afraid to interact. Come join us every single Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
We are also on Facebook. Search Sean and Tristan Ducross individually or Ducross Brothers. You can find our fan page and like it. Till next time, we're the brothers, the Sports Warriors. We're out.
Let's get it on!
Sprawl and brawl, ground and pound. Get ready for an MMA showdown. Now, the ultimate Octagon Insider, Sean and Tristan Ducross.